So this is the interventionist. It's art in the social sphere, and it's looking at ways in which artists engage notions of the public. And the public need not be just a geographic space, but it can also be a psychological space, it can be a discursive space, it can be a space of knowledge. I mean, notions of public extend beyond just geography. The public is a way of approaching the world, and it's obviously got a political position. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, a lot of the work does exist just in a kind of really basic idea of the public, that is, sidewalks, parks, streets. You know, that limited world that we consider public.
Right.
But also maybe even boardrooms, there's a few of those, or trade shows. And then in the experimental university, knowledge spaces like biotechnology, for example, become somewhere to enter into or intervene on and present a different approach. The show's broken up in four categories, as you know. Nomads, experimental university, ready to wear, which is fashion as resistance, and reclaim the streets, performance in public sphere in general. And my hope in a few things to note about the show is it's a look at political art of the 90s in a kind of overall survey kind of sense. So I don't want to mislead anyone thinking that, you know, these are the greatest hits at all. It's not meant to do that. The hope is to open up questions more than to close it down, to not make anything canonical, or to even say that these artists even think of themselves as interventionists, to be honest. But to try to give a sense of the kind of tendencies that were particularly prescient in the 90s, late 90s. They're still active today, but I think that the tide's turning a little differently. The political landscape changes so dramatically, and of course this work has to react to that particular, well, all art reacts to a particular moment,
right?
And we live in a particularly politically hellish time, but also different, questions of the public sphere, for example, are very different after 9/11. I mean, in the sense that people are just more paranoid than ever. And that, for example, I believe that if one were to attach, say, Michael Rakowitz's Parasite to a building like this, I suspect people would flip out, right? Like, I think that people would be like, you know, I mean, people say, it's always like, if you notice anything unusual, feel free to call a police officer.
Be ready.
Well, unusual sounds like interesting things to me, so interesting things in public are harder and harder to find. So it makes people nervous. That's how things are turning. People have to react to that as well. In addition, I think, like, the protest movements, which a lot of these artists are involved in, not all, but the global protest movement that came of age after Seattle, in November of 1999, it's really took a hit from, it really took a hit since the, since the war, since the war in Afghanistan and then the war in Iraq. And the cloud, the biggest thing that happened was the anti-war protest in New York City, but it had a very somber flavor to it. And a much more conservative methodological approach. I mean, it was just mom and pop and kids with protest signs, a lot of peace buttons, which is also refreshing. But the methodologies that are really in this exhibition were not as present. They were present at the Republican National Convention, and everyone was kind of, I think there was a feeling that people were glad to find their footing again, because it just felt like people were so shocked for the last 3 years. That who knows, maybe this stuff will come about again, but it's also, you know, the show's really useful as a way to look over what's successful and not successful models. And of course, for me, I'm very interested in political art, but I prefer to use the term relevant art.
Right.
Because I don't particularly, I'm just not interested in irrelevant art. It's a better way for me to talk to somebody in the art world about works I like, because then they can take the position that they're interested in irrelevant art, which typically they are.
Zing.
Because political art gets such a bad name, and you're always like, well, what I mean by politics is very broad. I'm actually talking about talking about things.
Right.
It doesn't need to be so painful to talk, does it? I hope not. And so, you know, you get works like, okay, here, William Popel's Black Factory. I mean, the politics are very open-ended. And if anything, you know, it's political only because it's talking about something crazy like race or difference in the public sphere. I mean,
right.
How astounding. And, yeah, like, to go back to that question, does it instill hate.
Inspire, yes.
Inspire hate. Well, I mean, to be honest, talking in public inspires hate. You know, people feel pretty alienated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always astounded. This is something I always like to talk about, is that if you put a Budweiser billboard in the public sphere, no one cares. It doesn't inspire hate at all, even though it's a completely exploitative visual tool. But if you put a billboard that wants nothing from you but to communicate open-endedly, typically that will inspire more hate. It's called alienation. It's called terrified of thinking for yourself. And that's a reasonable thing. People are convinced they're being made fun of. At least a Budweiser ad is speaking on
it's
your level.
Close to their own
called
hearts.
Exploitation. Love your master.